You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus from England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at wicn.org. Good evening, I'm Al Vona. Hey, and Happy New Year to all our wonderful listeners. We hope that the 2026 provides you and your family and friends with a most rewarding year. And to start off the year, I think in a rewarding fashion, I have a great show for you this evening. We're all well aware of the history of World War II, especially the way that the Nazis, the German army, treated the Jewish people during World War II. What many people don't realize is that many families, didn't necessarily live in Germany, were spread about all over Europe, and yet, we're still under the gun, as they say. We're still open to to the harassment and to the way that the German army treated the Jewish people, and that's what our show is all about this evening. It comes between the pages of a new book that I found just absolutely terrific read. The book is called The Courtyard by Benjamin Parkett and co-author Alexa Morris. Alexa joins me this evening to talk about The Courtyard. It's the story of a Jewish family, a Polish immigrant family, who were working in France, in Paris, during World War II, only to find out that they weren't any safer there than anywhere else, and their life had to be turned upside down, and the way they had to live their life to escape, the wrath of the German army, the Nazis. And just to keep themselves together, to keep themselves safe, something that many of us have never had to go through, but a very riveting book, a very interesting book. So for the next half hour, we'll be joined by Alexa Morris in talking about the new book, The Courtyard. Alexa, welcome.
Thank you, Al. It's a pleasure to be here with you this evening.
This is not the first book about the Jews had to endure during World War II. It's part of world history. It comes down from the time of World War II, from the Nazi occupation of many countries, and the fear that many Jews had to endure during that period. But what I liked about this, and if it's okay with you, it just lets give people some insight. Your co-author Benjamin Parkett is also a family member. So this is really more personal for you especially, but also because Benjamin is still alive, co-wrote this book, lived through this period. So I, in starting the book and getting involved in it, I thought, what better way of reading something that someone who is still alive, someone who lived this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I'm sure you got the same feeling, right?
Absolutely. As you said, this story is very personal to me. Ben Parkett is my father-in-law, and I've known him for 25 years. My partner is his daughter. And through her, I first learned his story, and he would talk to me about it. And he'd wanted to write his story for many, many years. And that's how we came together and decided to do it together, because I was interested in making it come to life. And it was a labor of love, and it was a really meaningful project to bring what I think is a very scary story, but also a beautiful story to the world.
The beautiful part, and I'm going to let you get into that and let you talk about that, is the fact that, Jewish Polish immigrants living in Paris. So this was, especially when they first arrived, when World War II started, and the Nazis started to ratchet up their tirade against the Jewish people, who would have thought? You're in a foreign country, you're targeted. It could happen today, could happen tomorrow, could happen at every moment. What will we do? And what I find so enriching and so important about the book, and comforting as well, is the fact that the locals living, you know, within the Parquette family living in Paris, in a working class courtyard kind of neighborhood, found that, you know, people that were, you know, acquaintances, I'm sure people that they made friends with, but perhaps even strangers, went out of their way to help the family, you know, hide from the Nazis, provide, help them provide for themselves, keep them going until all of this passed. That's really the crux of the book, is it not?
It really is. And it is, I think, really extraordinary and a lesson for our time, really. Ben's family was protected by their courtyard neighbors, and it was a small community of neighbors that came together, the concierge, a furniture maker, because Ben's father was a varnisher and the neighborhood was known for that, the furniture maker housed them in a warehouse. Other neighbors were shopkeepers who put aside food. It was really an effort of a small number of people who each played a role in keeping the family safe. And this, they weren't close friends. Ben's parents spoke only rudimentary French because they really primarily spoke Yiddish still. They were just neighbors. And it's actually that has made me stop to think a number of times. And it's something that I invite readers or your listeners to reflect on, the idea of what would you do for your neighbor? Because as I learned Ben's story, I really had to ask myself that question many, many times. I mean, it's unfortunately potentially relevant in this time and in the United States even. But, you know, would you go to such extraordinary lengths to protect people you didn't really know that well? And I hope that the answer for me is yes, but it's pretty hard to know unless you're placed in that position, I think.
You hit the hot button, at least for me, and I'm thinking anybody that, and I'm sure this went down, I mean, I don't have that in writing, but I'm sure that the Germans at the time must have said to any nation, especially in Europe, who were perhaps offering to protect or cover for the Jews to make sure that they weren't harmed in any way, they themselves were putting themselves at risk, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, they were. And I mean, you know, the part of France that Ben and his family lived in became Vichy France after the Germans invaded, and they were collaborators. And so the vast majority of French citizens were going along with the Nazi regime. But this particular community, in their own quiet way, fought back, and it's a beautiful thing.
What was was his family? Was Benjamin's family? Were they allowed to go out? I mean, if you get a beautiful sunny day, you don't want to be locked behind closed doors, even though that there's this overwhelming threat hanging over your head. I mean, how different was their life once they knew that they were at risk?
So once they went into hiding, and I didn't mention before, and I want to say really quickly, they only were able to go into hiding, or they were only warned to go into hiding, because another neighbor worked at the police station and she saw that they were going to be arrested. She saw their names on a list, and at great risk to herself, she rushed home from work to warn them. So because of that warning, they were not rounded up alongside of the over 13,000 Jews that were rounded up the very next day. And when they went into hiding, they hid in that warehouse that was provided by their neighbor, and they had to stay there, except Ben. Ben, because he was the youngest, he was 9 years old when they went into hiding, it actually became his job to go out each afternoon to get the food for the family, the food that the shopkeepers that were their neighbors had put aside. And this became the favorite part of his day. I mean, you would think maybe that he would be scared, but maybe because he trusted his family and he trusted his neighbors, it was the part of the day that he enjoyed the most. And sometimes, I'm sure his parents weren't happy about this, but sometimes he would kind of delay his return and wander through the stairways of the buildings and to savor the time outside.
Not only that, but I'm thinking, here's a 9-year-old boy, knowing that his both him and his family are at the risk of being captured by the Nazis, that fear alone would cause me to just freeze in, to freeze in place. And yet, he had the guts and the gumption to, do what he had to do. And as you said, if it weren't for him going out and bringing back the food, that was their sustenance, right? I mean, they weren't going to be able to eat any other way.
Absolutely. It was the way they got food. And of course, they didn't have, their warehouse had no electricity, no refrigeration, and no plumbing. And so they really had to get food every day. So it was a very important job.
How long did that last, by the way, Alexa? How long were they in that warehouse?
Over 2 years.
Wow.
Just over 2 years.
Hmm. That, we take it for granted, but as you were just saying, no refrigeration, probably little to no lighting. God knows what they had for heat. I mean, in other words, those creature comforts that we all take for granted, these people didn't have for 2 years, in addition to the fear that at any moment, they could be captured and God knows what happens after that. I want to keep continuing with this, but I do want to take a quick pause to remind our listeners that you're tuned to 90.5 WIC. Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at wicn.org. I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye. Happy New Year, by the way. My guest this week is co-author of the new book, The Courtyard, Alexa Morris. She, along with her co-author, Benjamin Paquette, have written a book that really exemplifies the life that Benjamin Paquette and his family as Jewish immigrants to Paris from Poland during World War II had to endure the fear of being arrested and being sent off to concentration camps. And as a 9-year-old boy growing up in that period, it was Benjamin's role to go out and bring back food to his family who were hiding in a warehouse. Alexa, I hearing you talk about that, reading in the book, and I'm just thinking, I get upset when I can't go out because there's a snow warning or a weather warning, or I can't even get to my mailbox. And I'm thinking these people didn't have anything. They had to rely and trust. Here's the key word, and I want to get your sense on this, the trust of people that, that weren't family. Many of them were just recent acquaintances. Others, sure, were co-workers, but their lives were at stake. And if it weren't for those, for those Parisians, those French people that went out of their way and risked their lives, God knows what would have happened to the Paquettes. It really comes down to, and I want to get your sense on this, a human interest story. It's all about, a person stepping up, people stepping up to the plate to help one another, is it not?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. And I'm profoundly grateful. I wouldn't have my family if those people hadn't done that. They made a huge difference to the lives of those five individuals, and then by extension, the lives that have, come into existence from them.
Now, Benjamin, how long after, was it, did they stay in Europe very long after World War II, or did they immediately leave? Because I know he's now living here in the U.S. How long after, during that period, before they came to the United States?
So they stayed in Paris for several years after the war, but you might imagine they felt different about France after the war. Even though they had been protected by their neighbors, they knew that, the vast majority of Parisians and around them had collaborated with the Germans, and also a lot of their community had been decimated. A lot of people were murdered in the camps. So when Israel was established, they started talking about emigrating there. And in 1949, they took a boat and they went to Israel, where the family settled and everybody but Ben stayed. Ben is the only one who actually immigrated to the United States, and he did that in order to attend college in California, where he then settled.
Hmm. That's interesting. Does Benjamin, because you know him better than anybody, not only being co-author, but now actually family, Has he harbored all these years any, hatred, bitterness, animosity? I mean, it would be hard to think that someone would not harbor those feelings, especially when, you know, your family's been threatened. And as you said, so many European countries, even though many were helpful, you didn't know from one day to the next or from one person to the next who might, point you out to the Nazis. But after all these years, has he harbored any animosity?
No, I've never seen that. To be honest, one of the things that strikes anybody who meets Ben is this incredible zest for life. He really has an infectious love of life and a warmth about him, which I think is different from a lot of people who survived the Holocaust. And I think that's largely because while he endured something truly awful, he was also very insulated from the true horrors of the Holocaust. He was protected by people who did the right thing. So I think that he doesn't have any of that resentment. But what he does have is he has, I think, a very palpable, real sense that things can go horribly wrong. You know, if you've lived through a period of time where you've witnessed the world turn on you, then I think you live with the knowledge that that can happen again.
And the fact that, as you said, I mean, they from Poland to France, they thought, oh well, we finally found a place where we can make a living, we can live comfortably. I'm talking about just prior to the war and prior to the Nazis ratcheting it all up. And then all of a sudden your world caves in. I think many times, and again, it's what's so important about the book is we take that for granted, especially those of us who have never had to live under that kind of duress, under that kind of fear for years on end. I'm thinking to myself, boy, I'd be a bitter, so-and-so. But it's amazing to hear that he's had that resilience and he's had that positive outlook. And I'm sure that that's carried on, other members of the family, right?
It is very inspiring, really, to be around. And yes, I think my understanding is his siblings were the same way. And certainly his children also have a wonderful love for life. And the rest of the family.
Now, when you started this particular project, this is your first book, right? And my sense is that this probably will not be your last book because it was well written, well researched, and as I said, it's a story written from the heart. But let me ask you, in your wildest imagination, did you ever think early on, back many years ago, that something like this might be something? I mean, I'm not talking about this particular story, but just writing itself, being published, would be part of your life.
I had always wanted to try. To be honest, Al, I'd always wanted to try writing, but I think I was really a little bit afraid. And I have to credit my partner Karen for saying, you should really write my dad's story. You should do that. And because I thought his story was such an important one to tell, and because he really wanted to tell it, I think that was a really wonderful pairing. And it gave me the courage to do it. And I'm grateful because I definitely want to keep writing.
The other thing I found so interesting is I'm a history buff by nature, mostly American history, but this certainly world history. The United States was deeply involved in World War II, played a crucial role there, all over the globe, actually. And you would think, here we are in the year 2026, it's like, okay, how many times can we have a story about Nazis and the Jews and World War II? Hasn't enough already been said? And my personal feelings or my answer to that would be obviously not, because this is not a history book about facts, basic facts. This is a human interest story. This is another face that up until now the world had probably never heard of, never knew. I mean, obviously, Benjamin and the family had friends, relatives, and associates that knew of their plight. but the world at large is now, here's the story, reads the story of yet another individual and how they survived through all of that. So I guess what I'm saying is my sense, and I want to hear how this feels to you, is that I don't think the public, I think they have an insatiable appetite, especially when it's, when you can put a face to the story, and especially in this case where Benjamin is still alive, miraculously, he's moved to this country many years ago, has been very successful, raised a family. Those stories always resonate, do they not?
I mean, they do to me, for sure. I think that it's also really, there are so many stories about the Holocaust, but it's important for them to be so many stories about the Holocaust. And I think that what is important to me about this one, besides it being about somebody that I know and care about, is that it does focus on, for the most part, the people that did the right thing during that period of time. And I do think that's pretty rare. And giving light to those stories, I think, is important too.
I've got to ask you, because it dawned on me that here we are many years later. This is all part of history, but for someone like Benjamin, it'll always be a constant. It was a part of his life; he lived it. Did he ever go back to France to visit with those people who were so helpful, who risked their lives to make sure that they had, sustenance, they had food, they had clothing, they were able to survive those many years prior to the the Nazis being defeated. Has he ever gone back to or kept up some kind of contact?
That's a great question, and I'll answer it in two parts. He has gone back many times to visit the courtyard. There is something very special about that place to him, of course. And I've been with him and he's gone back, and I'll tell that story in a moment. But I think a lot of the people that that lived there when he was there, they left. I mean, they were older than him and they retired and moved on. So he hasn't seen them or their descendants in some time. We went back together a number of years ago now, and he had, in the many times that he had visited the courtyard, he had actually never been able to go back into his apartment or into the warehouse where he had hid. Hmm. And on the time that we were together, it happened that we met the concierge and he introduced us to the person who leased who owned Ben's old apartment. And he also introduced us to the couple that lived in what used to be the warehouse. And so the very first time we were able to tour those units again, and that was really profoundly moving. And one of the things that really stood out is when we went back into the apartment where Ben had grown up and where he had lived, except for the time that he was in hiding until he left Paris, the owner handed him a key and said, "This is your apartment. You're welcome here anytime. Wow. You can stay here anytime." Yeah. And it was a really beautiful moment. And it sort of, to me, spoke to the magic that seems to exist in that courtyard.
It absolutely is what the book was all about. But to hear many, many years later, that those same people, long after Ben had left and started a new life here in the United States, was still once again reaching out and saying, "Look, this is here's the key. Come back anytime. This is yours. You lived it. You survived all of this. You're entitled to this." An amazing story. As I said, it's more than history. It's all about human interaction. What it's really all about when people step up and take care and care for other people. We've only got a few moments left, Alexa, so let me ask you, the book, I take it, is widely available right now?
Yes, it's available online and in bookstores, and wherever books are sold.
Yeah, and we hope, and I hope anyway, because I still love to go into the brick-and-mortar stores and peruse the aisles, and I'm sure you'll find a copy of The Courtyard. It was written by Alexa and her father-in-law, who lived, the story's all about, Benjamin Parkett. If people want to post questions to you, Alexa, just get more information about your work, how might they reach you?
I would love that. And they can reach me on my website, which is alexamorris.com.
And that's M-O-R-R-I-S. The book is The Courtyard, and a true story of Alexa's co-author, Benjamin Parkett, and his family hiding in Paris during World War II to avoid the Nazis, finally emigrating to this country, still alive. And co-authored the book, telling the story that he lived through. Just an amazing retell of one's life and the caring and the love that other people put out. If you have any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I always welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. For the public eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in.